Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Today on the broadcast, Jay, we will learn how Biblical Babylon, the modern-day nation of Iraq, how Biblical Babylon plays into the end-of-time scenario found in God's Word. In order to do that, we must go to Revelation 17 and 18. But first, let me rehearse how at the Lord's first coming, He fulfilled the first four Jewish feasts from Leviticus 23, and how He must fulfill the last three Jewish feasts as well.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
He fulfilled the first four feasts. He was crucified on Passover, buried on unleavened bread, resurrected on first fruits, and the Holy Spirit came on Feast of Pentecost, just like He said. In the proper day sequences, Jesus Christ fulfilled the first four feasts for the Jewish people, not for Christians, for the Jewish people. Thus He, to be consistent, must fulfill the last three feasts. He will come back to the earth. What did Matthew 24:31 say? Take a trumpet, blow it. That's the blowing of the trumpets. That's the Feast of Trumpets. He rebuilds the temple, He reconstructs the city, He does all of those activities, and then He goes to the Jezreel Valley, goes over to Petra, comes back, and He gets there 10 days after the blowing of the trumpet on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. A couple of days later, what happens? Feast of Tabernacles. That's why old Peter in Matthew 17 said, let's put up three tabernacles. I see Jesus in His glory, in His kingdom. I see Moses. I see Elijah. Three tabernacles, a sukkah. That's what Sukkot is. That feast called tabernacles in English. It's the remembering of how they wandered in the wilderness living in a sukkah, a thatched hut. And that is representing in fulfilled prophecy the kingdom period. As He fulfilled the first four, He will fulfill in the proper day sequence the last. Now just go to chapter 18. Chapter 18 of the book of Revelation. That's how Jesus Christ comes. That is how that all plays out. And what I wanted to teach you that for was to help you realize how specific, how exact the Word of God is. We can trust in the Word of God because it is absolutely in conformity with everything that Jesus is going to do and has done in the past, will do in the future. Look here in chapter 18. I told you there was one thing that was going to have to happen before all of this scenario I have just taught you will unfold. One thing. Let me just tell you something. Look up here just a moment, please. This is a 7-year period of time after the rapture of the church. In the first 3.5 years, we have chapter 17 of the book of Revelation. That's a one world religion headquartered in the city of Rome, Italy. The Antichrist will be the head of that church. The revived Roman Empire, the 10 horns, you can read chapter 17 as well as I could read it to you now. The 10 horns will be the revived Roman Empire. They're going to come to power, and the Antichrist will rule and reign from this false religion in Rome for the first 3.5 years. If you've got chapter 17, you have it because I told you to go to chapter 18. Look at chapter 17 and verse 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, that would be the revived Roman Empire, these shall hate the whore, that's the apocalyptic term for the church, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. This false church at the end of 3.5 years is going to be completely destroyed. Why and how does that all come about? Look at verse 17. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God be fulfilled. Notice what it says. God will use human world leaders to accomplish His will. Puts it in their heart. Lost people to accomplish His will. That's chapter 17. He says, I've got a plan that's going to work out. I'm going to use these human world leaders to accomplish it. Now go to chapter 18, verse 1. And after these things, now that's not really difficult to understand, is it? Don't need to be a rocket scientist to get that phrase. After these things, after what? The false church, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having a great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. It's become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Babylon. The word Babylon is used 3 times in chapter 18. The word city is used 6 times. It's talking about the city of Babylon. The word great is used 8 times. The great city of Babylon is focused on here in chapter 18. As you read through chapter 18, it talks about the merchants waxing rich in partnership with the Antichrist. As he finishes up his 3.5 year reign over the false church in Rome, where does he go? He goes to Jerusalem. He walks into the temple. The abomination of desolation takes place. Then the false prophet puts together an image of the Antichrist, which will talk and move. They put the image in the Holy of Holies. The Antichrist is going to leave. Where does he go? He goes to the literal city of Babylon. You say, wait a minute, man. Daniel chapter 5 says Babylon was destroyed. Well, it says Babylon, the empire, was destroyed. It never says the city was destroyed. The city was not destroyed. Babylon, the empire, was destroyed. Now, how do I know that? Well, I read some more of the Bible. I got over to the book of Ezra, chapter 7. And Ezra the scribe, who came to Jerusalem to reinstitute the temple practices, was living in Babylon when he left to go to Jerusalem. That's 75 years after the fall of the Babylonian Empire. I also read a bit of secular history. Alexander the Great, 200 years after the fall of the Babylonian Empire, put his Grecian kingdom in place, and he was headquartered also in the city of Babylon. He was so important to him, he opened up the Euphrates River coming out of the Persian Gulf so 500 gunships could come up and protect him. That was 200 years after the fall of the Babylonian Empire. I read the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 13, where Peter, following the command of Jesus, start here in Jerusalem, go to Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Where did Peter go? He went to Babylon. It says, all the saints in the church in Babylon salute you. You see, at that time of Peter's life, Babylon was the second most populated Jewish city in the world, second only to Jerusalem. He didn't go to Rome. He never went to Rome. And he didn't start the church in Rome. The Apostle Paul did. And so Babylon means Babylon. The Word of God means what it says. Now, how do I know Babylon is still alive? I watch CNN. And I saw the cameras from those newsmen at CNN in Babylon. Do you not understand? During the Iraqi situation, there was a military base in Babylon called Camp Babylon. It was there for the purpose of having a 21-nation multinational peace force. In fact, the United States government is paying millions of dollars because they messed up all the archaeological remains in Babylon. The New York Times reported that the United States is investing millions of dollars in the rebuilding of Babylon. Prime Minister Maliki, Prime Minister of Iraq, it was born and raised in Babylon. Hello, Babylon has never been destroyed. It will be destroyed. How do I know? Isaiah 13 and 14, Jeremiah 50 and 51, and the book of Revelation in chapter 18, verse 10, verse 17, and verse 19, it says, in 1 hour, Babylon is going to be destroyed. Babylon will come to power as the economic center of the world. The merchants will wax rich. Well, how are they going to do that? Because everybody has to buy or sell from them. Well, how do we know they have to buy and sell from them? Because everybody living at that time has to have an identification mark on their forehead or the back of their hand. Book of Revelation, chapter 13, verses 16 and 17. Is that 666? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. Is that a computer chip or a tattoo? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. It says it's an identification mark in order to buy or sell. Well, how in the world could even the Antichrist make the world take an identification mark on the forehead or the back of the hand to be able to buy or sell? Well, I got an idea. How about a worldwide economic crisis? And how about the nations of the world saying, G20 in particular, the 20 top economic powers, let's put in place a governmental, economic, political, global structure. And Babylon is ready to become that. Why do you think the United States military went in there? Let me tell you a couple of things you may not know. Just before the U.S. went in, Saddam Hussein had put together a 7 million man army. That 7 million man army was called the Jerusalem Army. 2,000 of them had volunteered to be suicide bombers. Their stated purpose was to go to Jerusalem, liberate Jerusalem, and give it to the Palestinian people. I want you to know something, folks. I was there for 39 Scud attacks. Judy and I weathered 39 Scud attacks in Jerusalem from Saddam Hussein. We believed when he said something, he was going to do it. I want you to know this. Ariel Sharon was the prime minister at the time. He put the nation of Israel on high alert. He had the Israeli Defense Force ready to respond. He believed that Saddam was going to march across. You see, Saddam Hussein thought he was the reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar is the only one that ever defeated Jerusalem. So he thought that was his calling for life. He was ready to come. Let me tell you what I think happened. I wasn't there, so I don't know for sure, but let me tell you what I think happened. In heaven, I wasn't there, so I don't know for sure. In heaven, God looked out and he said, what is Saddam doing? He's going to Jerusalem with an army? Now let me check my Bible. I don't think. No, I didn't ever write that. I wasn't there, so I don't know for sure. But then I said, I think God said, Jesus, come here. Let me show you something. Look what Saddam is doing. And I think Jesus said, Father, you're going to have to deal with Saddam. He said, I know it. Now, I wasn't there. I don't know for sure. But I think Jesus might have said, what are you going to do, Father? I said, the Father was looking out and he said, I think I'll get me a cowboy to send him in there and get that little weasel. Now, I wasn't there, so I don't know for sure. Hey, folks, listen to me. What did chapter 17, verse 17 say? God will use world leaders to accomplish his will. Saddam Hussein had to be removed because he was going against the plan of God. And Babylon had to come into focus, into power, for the Antichrist to rule and reign from it. Petroleum engineers tell us that over in Saudi Arabia, the oil is running out. In Iran, the oil is running out, the number one and number two suppliers of oil. And under the earth in Iraq is the greatest source of petroleum, of oil in the world today. Dubai is going to look like a backwater village compared to what Baghdad, Babylon, will look like when they start taking the riches from that oil. They've only touched 2% of it. It will come to power. It will be the world headquarters economically. The Antichrist will rule and reign the last 3.5 years.
Babylon will indeed come to power in the last days to be the international headquarters for an economic, political, governmental power base on this earth to be ruled by the Antichrist. God's word actually foretold this would be the scenario at the end of times, and the current events of the last decade have set the stage for these prophecies to be fulfilled. Next week on the broadcast, we'll see how Babylon will be destroyed. It, in fact, is the last thing to happen before the Lord's return to earth. Be sure to join us for this special study. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...